Rav Nevensal Shlita has a Mahalach which explains the flow of Parshas Devarim. It also explains really Parshas Maaseh as well. And I think one can use this approach to explain why it works out in the calendar that we always read Devarim, Maaseh, and Matos during this time of the year, the 3 weeks. There has to be a connection. The Shulah Kadosh talks about this in his Sefer, and he gives an approach. I think one can say an approach based on Rav Nevensal's Mahalach as follows. So it's very striking. In Chumash Devarim, we know Parshas Devarim, Moshe Rabbeinu is giving Musar to Bnei Yisrael, and he recounts our history and gives Musar for the mistakes that were made. So there's a reference to Chetim Araglim in his recounting of the history. What's very striking is that Chet Egel is missing. When Moshe Rabbeinu discusses and recounts their history and to give the Musar, he doesn't mention Chet Egel. And this is discussed by the Mefarshim. So why is it missing? That's a fundamental question in Imshat. Now, there's also a very interesting Rashi towards the end of Parshas Devarim in Perek Gimel Pasuk Yudches. Moshe there refers to the Reuven God and Chatishev Menashe that asked to stand the east side of the Yarden. And the Pasuk says, V'atzav eschem ba'eis ahi lemor, and I commanded you. Now, and he talks about that they should go and fight first and then take possession of the land later and go live in the east side later. So it's striking, he says, eschem. He's talking to all of Am Yisrael here, l'chora. The beginning of the parasha talks about all, it says all of Am Yisrael, Eila hadvarim, Ashadib Moshe el kol Yisrael. So Rashi here says, Livnei Reuven v'gad hayim adaber. He was talking to them. So some of the Mefarshim learn that in this section he's talking to them. But Rav Nevensal Shlita takes this Rashi literally. No, Moshe was talking to them. This whole Musar Shmuz was primarily at them, Chat at Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven. Even though it says at the beginning, El Kol Yisrael, so the focus though, although he was, I mean, physically, all of Kol Yisrael was there, but the focus of the Musar Shmuz was Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven. It's a very striking Rashi, with Rav Nevensal's pshat in the striking Rashi. A third point Rav Nevensal points out is that Moshe Rabbeinu, in a sense, finishes his long Musar Shmuz and recounting the history and giving warnings in Parshas Vayeschanan, Perek Dalet. Perek Dalet, Pasuk Mem. And then Mem Aleph, Oz Yavdil Moshe. Then Moshe set aside the three Ari Miklat. So what does the word Oz mean? Then, like something special. Suddenly, right then, something happened. He sets aside the Ari Miklat. So the Mefarshim talk about that as well. So Rav Nevensal's approach is as follows. We know Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven made a mistake. They made a mistake in requesting and actually staying on the east side of the Yarden. Chazal and the Mefarshim discuss one mistake, that they appear to have a mistake in priorities, and they valued their possessions too much. And in the Psukim they mention their money before their children. It shows their priorities were a little messed up. Okay, They made a switch on that. Rav Nevenzahl says that even after they agreed to lead B'nai Yisrael in battle and go into Eretz Yisrael and then only take possession of the land later, they agreed to Moshe's conditions. Still, this is the punchline, they were still making a very, very big mistake, and Moshe was giving tochacha to them. He was trying to talk them out of their mistake. And that's what that was Moshe's focus in Parshas Devarim up until the middle of Ha'aschanan, talking them out of their mistake. And this explains why Chayte Egel is missing, why Korach is missing, the Chayte of the Benos Moav is missing, Matan Torah is missing as well. The answer is that those don't relate directly to the mistake of B'nai Gad and B'nai Reuben. Their mistake was that they were, in a sense, repeating the chate of the Meraglim. That they chose not to enter Eretz Yisrael. It wasn't to the same degree as the Meraglim, but the idea that they were choosing not to enter Eretz Yisrael, that was a terrible mistake. There was Kedusha on the east side of the Yarden. There's a machlokes. To what degree it was exactly the same as the west side? But it wasn't the real Eretz Yisrael. They weren't going to be close to the Beis HaMikdash. They're going to be further. And therefore, they were choosing second best. They were choosing second best. And that was the Musar that Moshe Rabbeinu was giving to them. Oh. So now Rav Nevenzahl says that explains the whole flow of Parshas Devarim. Moshe talks about Hashem's instruction to go into Eretz Yisrael. Moshe talks about the appointing of the Shoftim with the lower level judges. And B'nai Yisrael were happy with this idea. Then Moshe discusses Chayte Meraglim, and then he skips to the end and he talks about avoiding Edom, Ammon, and Moab, and fighting against Sichon and Og. Then we have the section where Moshe is talking to B'nai Gad and B'nai Reuven. And then, in Parshas Va'aschanan, we have Moshe's tfilos, his amazing tfilos to enter Eretz Yisrael. And then we have a whole long warning about avoiding Avodah Zarah. And then we have Oz Yavdil Moshe. So Rav Nevenzahl says everything Moshe was saying was directed primarily against B'nai Gad and B'nai Reuven. First of all, Moshe talks about Hashem's command to go into Eretz Yisrael. Meaning, yeah, the real Eretz Yisrael, that's where we're going. We were going to Eretz Yisrael, and you're blowing it by not going to the real Eretz Yisrael. Then Moshe mentions that B'nai Yisrael made the mistake of being satisfied with the judges other than Moshe. Why was that a mistake? Because they should have wanted to be judged by Moshe Rabbeinu directly. They were choosing lower level judges. If you have a choice of the best judges or a second best judges, so that was a mistake. They were choosing the second best judges. And Rav Nevenzahl says a very nice pshat. The fact that B'nai Yisrael were happy with Yisro's idea, that is again the same mistake. They're satisfied with a lower level of Kedusha, a lower level of Torah leadership than Moshe Rabbeinu. That's the mistake that B'nai Gad and B'nai Reuben are making, of being satisfied with the lower level. Then, of course, Moshe describes Chayte Meraglim, because B'nai Gad and B'nai Reuben were making a similar mistake. Then Moshe talks about you can't conquer Edom and Moab and Ammon. Why is that mentioned here? Because that Isser is primarily relevant to those Shvatim who are staying on the east side, where Edom, Moab, and Ammon are there. Then Moshe talks about conquering the land of Sichon and Og, which is the land that was given to them, the Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven. Also, Moshe is pointing out that we were successful. And just like we were successful by Sichon and Og, we'll be successful in the real Eretz Yisrael. Change your minds. Come into the real Eretz Yisrael. Rav Nevensal explains the Moshe Shmuz continues his voice Chanan. Moshe talks about his own tremendous efforts to enter Eretz Yisrael. And Moshe was saying to Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven, again, according to Rashi, he was talking primarily to them. Here's a great shot. Moshe is saying, look at me. I davened like crazy to get into Eretz Yisrael. Take advantage. I appreciate how important it is. You have the opportunity to go. Take advantage. Beautiful shot. That was part Moshe describing his own tefilos was part of the Musar Shmuz to Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven. Wake up, come into the real Eretz Yisrael. Then there's the long discussion of Avodah Zarah. So Rav Nevensal explains, Moshe was hinting to Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven, the danger of Avodah Zarah is going to be to all of Bnei Yisrael, but primarily to Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven. Number one, they're going to be further from the Beis HaMikdash, further from the center of Torah. They're going to have a weaker Ruchniyah support system. Number two, they're going to be living closer to Ammon and Moab, the Ovdei Avodah Zarah. They're going to have the greater danger there. So that also fits into the Musar Shmuz. So Rav Nevensal explains why each parsha is there, and it also explains why Chet Egel is not there, Korach is not there, the Chet of Benos Moab is not there. Okay. And then the Torah says, Oz Yavdil Moshe. Why? Because now Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven heard the Musar Shmuz and they didn't change their minds. So then Moshe says, okay, plan B. If you're not going to change your minds, I have to start the process of getting this land ready for you. And he was Mavdil the Ari Miklat. Beautiful pshat. Moshe is saying, okay, if you're not gonna back out and you're actually going to live here, I have to start the process of having the Ari Miklat on this side as well. That's Rav Nevensal's pshat in Parshas Devarim. I think one can add to this approach of Rav Nevensal that Parshas Maaseh also fits in to this Mahalach, that it was directed at Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven. First, the Torah lists the Masos of Bnei Yisrael in the Midbar. The Masos talk about the history of Yetzias Mitzrayim going into Eretz Yisrael. The whole point of going in the Midbar was to go to Eretz Yisrael. Then the Torah has a long discussion of the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael, including the fact that Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven were given Nachals on the other side. Then the Torah mentions, and then the Torah mentions that the Levim will have cities, and they don't have their own Nachal in Eretz Yisrael. Moshe is saying, Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven, look, you're missing out. You can have a Nachal in Eretz Yisrael, and you're not taking advantage. And then, at the end of Maaseh, the Torah mentions that Shevet Menashe approached Moshe with a problem, that if the Benos Chofchad, who were Yoresh, part of the land, if they married out of their Shevet, then the Nachal of Chofchad would leave, that would be lost to the Shevet. But why is that mentioned here? It's also part of the Musar. This is all part of the Musar directed at to wake up Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven. Look at Benos Chofchad. They had the right approach. Chazal tells us that they cherished Eretz Yisrael. Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven, you should learn from Benos Chofchad. Rav Nevensal, when I mentioned this pshat to him, he said, thought it was a good pshat. Then I wanted to add one more idea about the Arei Miklat. Here, towards the end of Maaseh, the Torah mentions the Arei Miklat. So on a simple level, since the Arei Levim were the Arei Miklat, and the Torah was talking about the cities of the Levim, so it mentions the Arei Miklat as well. But I thought one could say as follows, this is also part of the Musar. It's very strange that there were three Arei Miklat on the east side of the Yarden, and three on the west side. It's not proportional. There were only a few shvatim on the east side. So the Gemara raises this question in Makos Tesemet Beis, and the Gemara says that there were more Rotzlim on the east side. Now there's a whole discussion that Rotzlim means killing b'mezid, and Arei Miklat are made for shogeg, and the Mepharshim discuss that question. But clearly, the point of having three Arei Miklat on the east side for such a smaller proportion of Bnei Yisrael, a percentage of Bnei Yisrael, reflects that what? The Arei Miklat reflect the fact that there's going to be less Ruchnias here. You're further from the center of Torah. So Moshe was saying, look here, look at the three Arei Miklat. This is where you're going to be living. There's going to be less Ruchnias here. And I wanted to add, and that's why the first thing Moshe Rabbeinu does after he finishes the Musar Shmuz is to set aside the Arei Miklat. Why? Because that is part of the Musar Shmuz. The fact that there are three Arei Miklat, that was also Moshe saying it's his last chance. Wake up. I'm setting aside three Arei Miklat for you on the east side. Because it's going to be less Ruchnias. And that itself was part of the Musar Shmuz. And that's why the first action Moshe does after he finishes the Musar Shmuz is to set aside the Arei Miklat. Because that in itself is the conclusion of the Musar Shmuz itself. Rav Emetzel said about the Apshat Yafeh Ma'od. Oh. We can learn from B'nai Gad and B'nai Ruvain this mistake they made. The general message is we have to have the proper priorities. And their priorities were a little bit skewed. They focused too much on their Parnassa as opposed to the Ruchnias. And that, broadly speaking, that was a mistake they made. And Chazal tell us that it was a mistake and they were punished for that. But I think that we can also talk about the mistake they made based on Rav Nevensal's pshat and connect it now to this time during the 3 weeks. During the 3 weeks, we're in Avelus over the Churban Abayis. But really, it's not just the Churban Abayis. It goes back to Chayit Meraglin. That was on Tisha B'Av. So I think that since the mistake of B'nai Gad and B'nai Ruvain was, in a way, similar to the Chayit HaMeraglim, they were choosing not to enter the real Eretz Yisrael, it fits very well that we taka read these parshios during this time of the year. We're supposed to be thinking about, don't make the mistake that the Meraglim made, which ultimately, Chazal tell us, the Chayit HaMeraglim ultimately led to Churban Bayis Rishon and Sheni. That's why they were on Tisha B'Av too. It's part of the punishment for Chayit HaMeraglim. It all goes back to that. So that we should be thinking about Chayit HaMeraglim. The ultimate Chayit HaMeraglim for sure was terrible, but even the B'nai Gad and B'nai Ruvain, the smaller version of choosing not to enter Eretz Yisrael when they could. They didn't make the mistake in Merida that the Meraglim did. But the idea of not wanting to enter the real Eretz Yisrael in its own small way was along the lines of the Chayit HaMeraglim, as Rav Nevensal explained. So we should be thinking about not making the same mistake of Chayit HaMeraglim. Not only their big Chayit with the Merida, Rachmana Litzchan, but even on a smaller level, To reject Eretz Yisrael on any level is terrible. So it fits very well that these three parshios, all of which refer to the B'nai Gad and B'nai Reuven, which reminds us of Chet HaMeraglim, are read during this time of year. Oh. But there's another idea, which I think is even, maybe even more lemaisa for us, as we approach Tisha B'Av itself. The mistake of B'nai Gad and B'nai Reuven was to be satisfied with second best, to be satisfied with being far from Eretz Yisrael, far from the Beis HaMikdash, far from the center of Torah. So as we approach Tisha B'Av, we have to say to ourselves, remind ourselves, not to be satisfied with second best. Without a Beis HaMikdash, we're living second best. When there's a Beis HaMikdash, then we see the Yad Hashem in the world much more vividly. We saw the miracles. The Avoda and the Beis HaMikdash was a tremendous, you saw such organized Avoda, thousands of people working together in pure Avodas Hashem. The Ruchnius level was incredibly high. A person is supposed to develop as much as possible a stronger and stronger emuna in Hashem here in Olam Hazeh. And obviously, when there's a Beis HaMikdash, that's what we're able to do. The Beis HaMikdash is a tremendous opportunity to experience this emuna in Hashem in a much more tangible way. Emuna chushis, the Sfarim say. We're missing that. Our whole life that we have now in Golus is second best. We don't see the Yad Hashem openly, just the opposite. The world is full of things that conceal the Yad Hashem. Avigdor Miller would like to say that, Avigdor Miller Zatzal would often say that we're bombarded by atheism. How? We read the news. The news is a godless news. When you have a Beis HaMikdash, the news is not going to be a godless news. The focus will be on the Beis HaMikdash and the Avoda and the Beis HaMikdash and what's happening and the miracles happening in the Beis HaMikdash. The Eish HaTorah Kol Tov Kam is going to show the whole world the miracles of the Beis HaMikdash all the time. That's why it's there, by the way, the Kol Tov Kam. That's what I think. I mean, that's the long-term reason why it's there. And that's what we're missing. We're missing the opportunity to experience the Yad Hashem in the strongest way. Our whole life now is second best. And the mistake of B'nai Gad and B'nai Reuven was to be satisfied with the second best. And we have to ask ourselves, do we really want the Beis HaMikdash? Do we want number one? So what we should work on Tisha B'Av is making sure that we really want the Beis HaMikdash back. And we're not satisfied with the second best. So for example, we say in our davening, all over our davening, we're mentioning rebuilding, getting the Beis HaMikdash back, rebuilding Yerushalayim, do we mean it? That's one thing to think about. When we say Yiratzon Sheibana Beis HaMikdash, do we mean it? If we don't mean it fully, then we're repeating the mistake of B'nai Gad and B'nai Reuven. So that's lesson number one. That's lemaisa number one. We should mean it when we should try to mean it when we say we want the Beis HaMikdash back. We really want the Beis HaMikdash back? Yeah, we have to want the Beis HaMikdash back. We should want the best, and all of life now is second best. Number two, if we really feel that we're missing this opportunity for seeing the Yad Hashem in the world, having this greater emunah in Hashem, then we should be taking advantage now, whatever we can do now. Do we at least think about the Beis HaMikdash now? We don't have a Beis HaMikdash right now. We should think about the miracles of the Beis HaMikdash. We should think about the Avodah. We should try to imagine what it must have been like. Take time to do this. Think about the miracles that would happen in the Beis HaMikdash to help strengthen our emunah in Hashem. That's the second thing that we can do. And the third thing, if we recognize that it's only second best, and we recognize that really the best way, the best for the world would be to have a Beis HaMikdash, so we could see the Yad Hashem in a stronger way, then all of us should do whatever we can now to bring Hashem into our lives. Do we really try to live with this closest to Hashem? When there's a Beis HaMikdash, we're all going to be closer to Hashem. And if we're davening for a Beis HaMikdash, it means we're davening to be closer to Hashem. Are we sincere in those tefillos? If we're sincere in those tefillos, then we should be trying to get closer to Hashem now, as much as we can. Do we think about Hashem in our davening? Do we think about Hashem during the rest of the day? There's a famous story that one of the Bali Musar once, during Shacharis, came and clapped on the shtender and said, "Don't forget, there's Hashem in the world." They were in the middle of davening. Yeah, but our mind wanders. We daven like robots sometimes. So this is a message to take, to think about on Tisha B'Av. If we really recognize that everything we have now in this world is not ideal, we're missing the Beis HaMikdash, we're missing the real thing. So number one, we should sincerely daven to get it back. Number two, if we can't have it, we should think about the miracles of the Beis HaMikdash, try to make it a part of our lives. And number three, the entire goal is to have a greater emunah in Hashem and to experience the Gilui Shechina as much as possible with the Beis HaMikdash. So without it, we should do what we can to bring Hashem into our lives. And this can be done in many, 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 many ways. Thinking about Hashem, Rav Avigdor Miller Zatzal would talk about praising Hashem all the time. There's a lot to praise Hashem for. And the more we find opportunities to think about Hashem in our lives and praise Hashem in our lives, then the more we are expressing that we recognize that life nowadays is second best, and we have to do whatever we can do now, to make up for the not having the Beis HaMikdash, not having the opportunity of achieving the highest levels of emunah, when we would mamash see the Yad Hashem in a much more tangible way. So I think this approach to Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven of Rav Nevensol Shlita can help explain why these three parshios are read during this time of the year, and B, can give us act as a guide to us, three specific things to think about on Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av is a tainus, it's a day of tshuva. Three things we can do to try to do things better that relate directly to Tisha B'Av, that we can derive from the mistake of the Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven. Okay, we'll stop.